Welcome to another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein. I've certainly met my share of fitness experts, even went so far as to have a personal trainer, Boris from Russia. But I've never met a personal trainer gym instructor who also happens to be an award-winning pole dancer. Until now, that is. Roz Mays describes herself this way. I'm black, I'm plus size, and I'm a woman. That's a triple threat in fitness. I'm the Antichrist. I'm just missing being a lesbian Muslim, and then everyone can hate me. Mm-hmm. Actually, Roz is beloved and revered by many. Some background. Roz, who says she's been overweight for half her life, grew up on Long Island in New York. A jock, she fenced, played soccer, and softball in school. Despite growing up in a supportive family, Roz says she was and continues to be judged for her physical appearance. After graduating from George Washington University with a degree in business, Roz landed a job at a nonprofit. She was bored, miserable, and gaining weight. It was 2007 when she signed up for a gym membership, took dance classes, particularly pole, and got hooked. 3 years later, she competed in pole-esque, a pole burlesque competition, and as they say, the rest is history. For Roz, pole dancing is her sport of choice, followed by TRX, strength and conditioning, and flexibility. She teaches classes at Body and Pole, Incredipole, and Brooklyn Fit Lab in New York City. She is also the founder of Dangerous Curves, America's first pole dancing contest that specifically targets plus-size women. She's also the subject of a documentary of the same name. So let's meet the woman who describes herself as a kick-ass personal trainer and pole dancing diva. Roz, welcome and thanks for joining me today.
That was the most thorough intro. I mean, I forgot I did some things. So I was like, oh, I did do that.
Well, I'll tell you, Roz, I had my work cut out for me. You sent me this paltry paragraph about who you are that had no meat on the bone.
That
woman.
Is, yes.
So let's begin this way. I read that your parents, particularly your dad, encouraged you to own your own body. But there must have been, for you growing up, a dichotomy between home and what happened outside the home in terms of how you were perceived on a physical level.
Absolutely. That dichotomy was crazy. And I didn't realize until I became an adult just how much that dichotomy affected me. So when I was home, my parents who, hey, mom, dad, Grammy, Lindsay, they are the most amazing parents on the planet. And they have supported everything my sister and I've ever done. And they were the parents. They didn't just come to the soccer games. My mom is bringing snacks for the whole team and wine and cheese for the adults. And my father is the number one fool running up and down the sidelines.
Screaming.
Yes, he's the parent that you have to remind you're not the coach. Which wasn't a problem for him because he just made himself the coach in several softball teams.
Well, he had enthusiasm.
Oh, my God. Enthusiasm is putting it nicely. So, yeah. So, sports have always been a part of my family, different kinds of sports. And, you know, the topic was never you're too heavy or you can't do it or you should lose weight. But it was always this is just a great thing for you to be a part of, you know, particularly because my father is a lifelong athlete. And so he, you know, he thinks he's the third Williams sister, quite honestly.
Well, if he puts on a tennis outfit, call me and I'll interview him.
Oh, my gosh. Don't even tell him.
A woman's tennis outfit.
Dad, chill right now. Chill. Uh-huh. So this is my home. But then where my sister and I went to school, we were some of a handful of black kids. We went to a private school where we were surrounded by very wealthy, rich white families.
Why did you go there?
Because the education was beyond phenomenal and we were so fortunate to be scholarship recipients.
Uh-huh.
And so my whole family, but my sister and I, we worked our butts off in school to make sure, because we understood that this...
The stakes were high.
The stakes were high, and not because people put that pressure on us, but just because any Long Island wealthy private school, the education stakes are always high for everybody. And so physically, I'm one of the only black kids in my class, and I'm surrounded by very slender white girls. And what I grew up thinking when I was very young, let's say around like, you know, first, second, third grade, and I didn't understand how race relations worked. So when you would hear little things like the boys talk about who they have a crush on or the girls talk about who they want to have a crush on them, I was never in that conversation as a subject or the object of someone's admiration. And I assumed it was because, well, oh, well, white boys like white girls because I that's just what I knew and that's what I understood. And it's not, again, that's not because of someone told me that's the way it happened, but that's just
what you figured out.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what you figured out. So I thought I was because I was black. But then once I grew older, say to middle school, and I started to understand race relations much better, then the subject came, well, none of the boys like me, not because I'm black, but because I'm fat. And I would say right around puberty, like when I was 12 to 13 is where my weight really came in, my excess body fat weight, that is. So this wasn't just the normal, you know, you grow up, gain a few pounds. Like, this is where I put on a lot of pounds during puberty. And then after I left middle school, I went to boarding school, Massachusetts.
So you slept away?
Yep. I slept away for grades 10, 11, and 12. My sister also did the same thing. She went to a different school. I loved my school. I love Brooks. But again, it was the similar situation where it was me who I was wearing a size 14, 16 and shopping at Lane Bryant when I am 15 years old. And my other classmates had never heard of Lane Bryant. You know, everybody's running around to Express and buying things at the junior department. I never shopped the junior department.
I was a big girl growing up, and I wore 12 to 14. Mm-hmm. And the irony about that is that's not considered super large. Although in my head it was, because I wasn't in comparison to a size 6.
Exactly. And, you know, and this wasn't that there was like this extreme excessive weight and I wasn't doing anything and I was just sedentary and just whatever.
And shoving candy in your mouth.
Exactly. Yeah. It was just, it's so funny because now I also look back as an adult and I think a lot of it had to do with the 90s, the rage was fat-free everything. And not that my family subscribed to that necessarily, but I remember when it was making food choices on my own, well, I know fat's not very good, so I should stick to having the least amount of fat possible. But carbs are fine. It's sugar.
Yeah.
Sugar is sugar.
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody was obsessed with carbs then. Mm-hmm. And until, you know, fast forward 15 years and now people are damning carbs to hell. You know, it just in the misinformed way that they spoke about fat in the 90s. I still see that coming through in my own eating habits where I will avoid super fatty things, but without looking at the nutrients or other things that come with it and just assuming that all fats are bad. And, you know, which is why now I'm addicted to bread and carbs and pasta and things. So that was sort of the two worlds. In a long circle, that was the two worlds.
Yes, one could be plus size, but you could also be very healthy.
Exactly. You know, I think that to me is a tough, layered, complicated question. And it's something that I personally struggle with because I absolutely believe that being plus size doesn't mean that you're going to get a death sentence tomorrow and have a heart attack at 40. Mm-hmm. But it's also my responsibility as a health and fitness professional and just me as a regular grown adult to acknowledge that certain levels of excess body weight in particular, they're not helpful. They may not kill you tomorrow, but they also may have some lasting impacts. And it's a hard balance to try and find that line because people very often, they have one view or the other. It's either you can be perfectly healthy being plus size or there's no way you could be anything close to healthy. And I would put myself personally somewhere in the middle. I have had blood work done recently, and for a number of factors, my metabolism is a little off, my thyroid's a little funky, I need to watch my blood sugar level, my sleeping is just all crazy, but that's the one hand, it's like, okay, you know, amongst other factors, weight certainly can be playing a part of this. But on the flip side, even with all of those things going on, I can still deadlift 130 pounds. I can lift myself 20 feet, 12 feet in the air. I can lift other bodies 12 feet in the air while I'm also in the air as well. And I also see where just because one part of you is flawed doesn't mean the entire athlete and your entire being is flawed.
Yes, that we can't paint with a broad brush. And let's move ahead a little bit.
Sure.
You know, you go to college, yep. You get a degree, you, as I mentioned, you land this job, ho-hum, boring, and then you say, oh, I'm getting bigger. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Of course. It was the classic switch. I went to GW down in DC, and it's a spread out campus. So I was used to walking around, you know, between campuses and walking the city. And I love that. And then I come back home to New York City, and I'm at the same desk for 8 hours a day, and I want to punch myself in the face. Mm-hmm. And I remember my breaking point was one morning I went to get dressed, and I was wearing a double XL from Old Navy in a shirt, and the shirt barely buttoned, not even. And at that time, you know, that was the largest size that they made in stores. And that was the moment where I was like, all right, I got to get my weight down.
Because you didn't want to go shopping again in a specialty store.
Exactly. Yes, that. And I just hadn't really been all that aware of my size. And I didn't care. And I don't know what it was about that time, but it was just that morning in particular where it was just like my eyes became open that I'm gaining more and more weight because my sizes are going up and not even beyond my normal range of where they had been. But it was...
How old were you then?
Probably about 23.
So you join a gym, and the physical part of it was probably not that difficult for you because you had that foundation
exactly
of being physical. So why did you take a pole dancing class? You know, I was telling somebody about the fact that I was going to interview you. I had seen this video of Dangerous Curves, and I said, I wonder if I'm going to be outside my comfort zone. Not the gym part of this, but I remember watching The Sopranos and at the Bada Bing Club. And, you know, women sliding up and down the pole.
Yep.
I certainly know Hustlers and Scores. I mean, I don't live under a rock. And maybe growing up in that whole feminism thing, because I'm considerably older than you are, there's this kind of... uncomfortableness about women doing that. You know, I guess you can appreciate that.
Oh, I absolutely can. I pretty much thrive in uncomfort at this point in my life. You know what's funny? One thing that the reason why my gym career started off, even before it was a career, just my career as a gym rat, it started off on a positive note in my adult years because I started doing things that I loved. I have a Beyonce complex. You can't tell me that when a good song comes on and my twerk just starts to spice up, you can't tell me I'm not Beyonce.
Okay. I won't do that because I'm scared.
No. So I started out, you know, not necessarily with the typical aerobics classes that you might see or assume that are in gyms, but I took hip hop classes. Because I've always loved to dance. And so that was a really great way of starting. It put positive associations with the gym.
Okay.
So it wasn't just go to the gym because you have to lose weight because you're fat. Like, it was...
I'm having fun.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So much fun. So much fun. And pole started because it was just another class at the gym. It had the title dance in it. And I was like, oh, snap. Let me try that. Sounds cool. The first class... I have never been so humbled, never been so sore, and never felt so incapable of something in my life. And this is after I played softball and soccer both for 8 years in middle and high school. But what was different about pole dancing is that this was strength training. Previously, you know, even though I played a ton of sports, doesn't mean I was necessarily good at them. And I never saw myself as a valuable athlete to the rest of the team because I couldn't run fast.
Mm.
And because the majority of youth sports are based in how fast can you run.
Well, soccer, for God's sake, you know, and standing on the field doing nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Except if you're playing defense.
Okay.
And I could kick the ball really far. So it's basically Roz is going to hang back. And when someone thinks they're going to score, I'm going to come charging at them. And they're going to be like, oh, crap. Here comes the girl on her legs.
Right.
And
I'm out of here.
I kicked the ball half the field up. So
I think it landed in my backyard.
Exactly. So I avoided running because I just kicked the ball far. So pole dancing was different because, again, this was strength training. This was lifting weight. As in yourself.
Yeah.
This was manipulating that weight in ways that I have never done in my life. And I have never had a better time failing at something than I do at pole dancing. And that is true still to this day, 9 years later.
And you were okay putting on next to nothing in front of other people to start off embarrassing yourself or whatever, in my interpretation of this, you were just completely comfortable in your own skin.
Absolutely
not.
God
bless you. Oh, no.
As I mentioned before, with all my body issues, I thought, well, no boys are going to like me because of my size. So for people who haven't experienced this yet, there's a reason why pole dancers and strippers, because those are two different things, there's a reason why they wear next to nothing. It's because you literally need skin to grip the pole. Cotton doesn't grip steel. That's just
science. I'll remember
that. Yeah. That's just science. So my first class, I probably wore some, you know, short, regular shorts and probably a tank top. And for the next 4 years, I always wore that tank top. My legs, I've always been like cool with that. Like, I'm thon thighs. I will take the thigh game all day. But what I've always been ashamed of has been my abdominal fat. And that's where I kept most of my excess body fat, was on my stomach. And so it was like, don't show that. Whatever you do, do not show
that.
No
midriff exposed.
No, nothing. Mm-hmm. But during that time, I would be so jealous
of the other people.
Of the other
class.
Girls, because mm-hmm. they would just take their shirts off in class and they were so comfortable doing it. And I thought I wasn't allowed to do it because I was, those are the unwritten / written rules of society. Like, if you're fat, you cannot take your shirt off. Like, my God, why would you do that? That's the one thing you're not supposed to do. But eventually, when I started taking advanced pole dance classes, you literally need your hips, you need your side, you need your rib cage and your stomach to grip the pole. So it became a necessity. But even still, I figured out ways to work around it because I was not ready to show the world my stomach until I was teaching. This is probably my second year of teaching, I think. And I was getting dressed. I was in the locker room and I put on a pair of high-waisted shorts, as I usually wore. So high-waisted, these covered damn near my whole rib cage, that level of high.
I hear you.
And I had a sports bra on and I went to go put on a tank top and I just caught myself in the mirror. I said, you know, there's really not much that's being exposed. Maybe I can do this without my shirt in just those high-waisted shorts and a sports bra. So I went on to teach 90-minute class like I normally do. And at the end of class, I told my students, I'm like, guys, I did it. I did it. I didn't wear a shirt today. The whole class. Oh, my God. And they all clapped for me because we're fam and that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went home and I cried my eyes out harder than I'd ever cried.
Of that accomplishment?
Yeah. You know, it felt like the weight of the world was off my shoulders.
Literally.
Yeah. And it wasn't because at that between the time when I started pole and 4 years later when I took my shirt off, I hadn't changed physically that much. I certainly had lost weight and toned up, but I was still large by my standards. I didn't take it off because I was like, I'm going to be proud of myself now and I have this confidence and I'm going to do it. It was no, I'm hot. I'm literally just hot in class. I'm a sweater. And so it was at a necessity and I just didn't feel like it. And I don't think I put on a shirt since.
And with that, I'm hot.
Yes.
You also felt that figuratively.
I'm still not there. I think people, they see me, they see what I wear, they see how I move, and they think that there's an extraordinary amount of confidence that comes with that.
Well, that makes sense.
It does make sense, but it's completely wrong. So me, that's not a confidence thing that I can dress and I can act like this because that's my comfort zone. I'm a ham. I'm a huge ham. I'm a disgusting extrovert.
I'm going to interrupt you
sure.
and speak on your behalf. So it doesn't really matter what the hell you wear because this
yes.
is what your personality is. You could come out in a paper bag.
Yes.
You know, if you can't handle what I look like shimmying up and down a pole, then you can't be here.
I think I'm at that point now, but that is a very recent. Recent is in the last maybe year or two.
Mm.
Still
get a little shudder when people come into your class and see who the teacher is?
You know, no one's done it where I've noticed it, but
okay.
they have told me after class that when they first came in
their
and they
dropped.
Saw I was a teacher, they were like, oh.
Yeah.
And they didn't really know what to think. And even outside pole, when I started teaching bigger group classes. So in pole dancing, I typically have 10 to 12 students. But when I was at other larger gyms and I would have sometimes 40 or 50 people and they would come in, they're like,
What's wrong with this picture?
You know, and they didn't, nobody said anything ever to me out loud, but they told me afterwards, like, I didn't know what to expect. I was a little nervous, but that was one of the best classes I've ever taken. And funny enough, it's never been students that have had a problem. The only people that have ever confronted me to my face about my size in regards to my profession has been other fitness professionals.
I would think so.
Yeah, the other that other
you
trainers.
You make them very uncomfortable.
Yes, they, I've been told that I'm a terrible role model people.
I bet.
And I've been told that I'm dangerous. I'm the before. Jeez. I'm not the after picture. I've been told that I would never get group classes because clients and students don't want to look like me. They shouldn't want to look like me because I am bad. I obviously have terrible health habits I don't practice what I preach because if I did, I would be slim and I'm not slim and they automatically assume that it's because I'm eating Cheetos every day.
But what do you preach?
What I preach is don't eat like a jerk. Like, you know, I'm very open, especially on my Facebook page. I tell people, guys, I've been screwing up. So I'm trying to pull it back.
Do you want to be thin?
No. What I would like to do, I would like to reduce my body fat. Absolutely. And that is, honestly, that's still rooted in shallow wanting to look good. You know, I'm okay with being my size and even my numbers. Right now, I think I'm about 244 pounds, you know, which is the heaviest that I've ever been. And I would love to get down closer to 200, period. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with fat, I'm okay still being large and having a large frame and having a lot of visible muscles, but I still am honestly bothered by my excess fat. So what I would like to do is to reduce that. Now, what has changed is when I first started working out, that was my sole goal. And that was the number one thing that I thought was the most important was to lose weight because your numbers are terrible. They're high. They're just high.
And you're judged by your numbers.
Exactly. And I'm judged by, I was judging myself more than anybody else that ever judged me. And, you know, now I see that as getting my numbers down for health reasons. And I'm not jumping on a scale every week like I used to. I do it every 3 or 4 months now. I don't track every single thing that I eat. Now I still, for the most part during the week, I watch it. You know, I don't mean that to say that I'm healthy or obsessed, but like, all right, Roz, like, ease up on the pizza. You know, you could go and get a slice of pizza snack, but let's rock this granola bar and an apple or something. You know, when I don't buy a lot of juice unless I mix it with whiskey and that, like, I buy specific things. So it's forever changing. It's always, the balance is changing. And by far the toughest part about my health venture is eating. I could live in the gym all day. I love it. But I still am it's still a huge struggle to willingly choose a salad over a cheeseburger.
But you know what's interesting? Here you are, a fitness trainer, and you help other people. You know, I come to you, learn how to get more fit, whatever. And it's kind of, again, to use that word dichotomy, a fascinating dichotomy that you can do this for other people.
That dichotomy is sometimes maddening to me, but that's the reason why I have a career. I have been told by countless people after almost every class at this point, the reason why I chose you as my trainer, as my coach, as my teacher, is because you keep it real. It's because I feel like you're not this distant idea of a six-pack that doesn't feel attainable.
Exactly.
You feel attainable. You also allow me to make mistakes without feeling like a failure. And there's no guilt and shame that come when my clients come from making a mistake. I go out of my way and I really try hard not to guilt them into something unless they tell me they want the mom eyes. Then I will give you the Claire Huxtable face, like, you know you sure. but they tell me purposely because you are flawed, because you so freely put it out there. You tell us when you're trying, what worked, what didn't work. We see your successes and where you're not succeeding. That is why we want to support you so much. hard. And particularly with my plus size clients, I spend a lot of time working with plus size women, and a couple men too, but it's primarily plus size women right now. And they tell
me. So you validate them.
Oh, yes. They tell me, I chose you because you're my size. I'm afraid of other trainers and other traditional gym settings.
Because they may be unrealistic goals
for
me.
Of course. They feel unrealistic. They feel pressured. They feel like it's only about losing weight. And people only see them as a walking pile of fat. Therefore, they only see themselves as a walking pile of fat.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, I'm the first people in years, if not their lives, to tell you, you're an athlete. You count. You are valid. Not a pretend athlete. Not over here when you do this, when you lose this, you'll be an athlete. But today, let's talk about how you're able to make positive contributions to the athletic community. And for some people, they've never, ever thought about themselves like that. And that's what gets people excited to stay doing those really hard things, like choosing salad over cheeseburgers.
Yeah, right. What was the experience like for you when you competed in your first pole dancing competition?
Pole dancing has just been my gateway drug to doing fitness as a career. And it's...
And empowering you too.
Yeah. And you know what's so wild about it is because you'd think of all the sports that somebody who is so conscious about their size would get involved to, it would be pole dancing? What? But I think because...
You'd almost think it would be sumo wrestling.
Of course. But I think because pole was just so extreme that even if you dabbled in it just a little bit, that's still a much bigger dabble than what you would do in anything else. And so my first competition, I remember, I was not anybody's like big kid on the block. Like, I'd recognized some people and they recognized me, but still didn't, I didn't know everyone's name. They didn't always really know who I was. And I danced to Beyonce's Diva, of course, surprise, surprise. And at that point, this is before I was taking off any shirts. And I just danced. It wasn't necessarily a complex routine because this particular competition wasn't about complexity. It was about being, you know, as huge show woman on stage.
And in the moment.
In the moment, yes, of course. And pointed toes and clean lines. And I came in the top three, and that was amazing. And I love the roar of the crowd. I am addicted to the roar of
high.
The crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the one thing that absolutely overpowers every insecurity that I have. It's the roar of the crowd, and also because I just get to be crazy on stage. And that right there is just amazing. It's so great. And since then, I haven't done many other competitions, but I've probably done about 50 shows in the last 9 years. And I've been fortunate to have been invited to pole across the country. And, you know, what started as a class at the gym and then turned into a hobby and a serious class. Then I started dancing and performing and competing. And, you know, this past summer from that one competition, now I taught workshops in Germany and in Amsterdam.
Fabulous.
And it really, truly was. That was a huge career milestone. And it was the gateway to so many things. And now I don't perform as much. 9 years is a lot as a performer.
Sure.
We're kind of like, we're in dog years in circus sports. So like, I can do it if I need to. And I'm like, oh God.
Yeah, I'm moving on here.
Yeah. But what I do love though is sending other people on stage. Nothing makes me happier. And I mean nothing than going to a small studio showcase where people are sitting on mats on the floor and there's an iPod for a DJ and there's an announcer with no mic, but it's just the students are there. They're excited. It means a lot to them, and it's their first show. And I am that psychotically excited cheerleader in the crowd.
What an ambassador. Not that I'm going to start, but boy, you really can titillate somebody. We've run out of time.
I can't. See, this is what happens. You ask me one question, Roz, what's your name? And I just go off. I get so
hyped. Thank goodness.
Yes.
Thank goodness. I mean, it's contagious. There is a real enthusiasm and a love of life, and boy, do you have, and I say this so often to the women I interview, And it's so true. What a great sense of self. That's, to me, one of the greatest things that I could say to somebody.
And thank you so much for having me and for recognizing, you know, I've had many people dismiss me, particularly online, that I'm a dumb stripper. And I love strippers and I love strip clubs, but that's not what I do. And I think it trips people out sometimes when they hear me, they ask me a question and think they're going to get a shallow answer that is like, haha, business degree, sit down. And I speak about it with seriousness and I explain the muscle groups and different things that are going on. And then they take it seriously.
Well, it's conviction and it's who you are. You just ooze incredible self-confidence. Roz Mays, thanks so much for joining
me
today. I really loved meeting you.
Yes.
Join us for another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein.